Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey everybody, Mike Bloom here. Before we get into this installment of the RHAP B&B, just wanted to let you know we do go into what could be considered spoilers for the week for HOH, nominees, veto winner, etc. If you prefer to remain unspoiled and show only, you might want to tune out for this one. Otherwise, if you don't mind it, keep on keeping on. That being said, take it away, Wolfram America.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the RHAPBB B&B for weeks 1 through 3 of Big Brother 21. My name is Mike Bloom, ready to reopen the doors of the B&B. It's been only a couple months since we closed them at the end of Survivor Edge of Extinction. It's felt like 2 years at this point, in my opinion, but maybe it's just because of the years that we have lost due to the first few weeks of Big Brother 21, in both a good way and a bad way. We have a lot of stuff to get into to break down the first few weeks of this discussion-worthy season. I'll leave it at that. Let me welcome in, of course, the co-owner of the B&B, my forever ride or die, Leona Boris. Leona, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really happy that Camp BBB&B is open for the summer. I have my crayons ready. Let's make some Pegasus drawings. Let's banish each other. You know, typical camp stuff. Get into everything on, yes, like you said, the insane first few weeks of the season.
Yes. For those of you that might not remember, and I know Leona did a great job screenshotting this the night it happened, which was, you know, back during episode 2. So it was a little while ago. I can understand that people forgot, but the people who were seeking to escape banishment actually did go to a camp B&B.
They did. They went to a camp B&B. I couldn't believe it. It was like, Mike, we're so relevant. Look, we're on the show. They're going to walk in there and it's going to be the two of us making terrible puns. I'm sure that would be punishment enough.
I mean, it's not too different from like what they have to do in the DR. So they actually might feel very at home there. They might not want to leave.
That's true. I think it was actually like a giant pancake or something. If I remember correctly, that was forever ago. But maybe we can pitch next year when, of course, they repeat the banishment twist from episode one. We can come in and really rep Camp BB. But in the meantime, we are here ready to have some fun and play some games.
So while they may repeat the banishment twist in later seasons, we're actually going to have a first time guest here on the B&B. Long time coming. Cannot wait to speak to this guy about all things Big Brother. You know him from his appearances on the Morning Updates. He also writes for robhasawebsite.com during his Survive 4, 3, 2, 1 articles during the Survivor season and some Big Brother stuff in between as well. Let's go. Matt Liguori, welcome to the B&B. How you doing?
I am very excited to finally be here checking into the B&B. Like you said, it feels like a long time coming. Very excited to talk to you guys. I was really hoping to see you guys pop into one of those early episodes. Like there was talks of all these duos coming into the house, maybe like returnees or something. I was like, oh, the B&B, maybe there's something going on that we haven't heard about. Didn't seem to be the case. But either way, very excited to be here talking to you guys. This season has been a lot so far, and I feel like we're about to, you know, start another phase of the game. So there's a lot to talk about.
Well, before we get into Big Brother 21, I will put you through our hazing process, Matt. And you can, you know, talk with us. You knocked on the B&B door. We let you in. We did not yell at you to go bake some cookies. But we would love to hear from you, you know, as a tried and true Big Brother super fan. I don't know if you ever gave your Big Brother origin story in the myriad Big Brother podcast you've done. But when did you start getting into the show initially? And what got you into the show so hard?
So honestly, it was RHAP that got me into the show, and I don't talk about it a whole lot of like when I started, which probably is a good thing for me. But now I'm going to be telling everybody anyway. I didn't start watching Big Brother until BB 16, and okay. I jumped right into it with you know Derek and all those guys. But yeah, it was never something I'd heard of. I'd just been growing up watching Survivor all the time, Amazing Race, whatever. But none of these other shows that you know that we all watch now between Big Brother and The Challenge and all that stuff. I didn't start watching that until only a couple of years ago. But once I watched Big Brother 16, you know, I wanted to hear more podcasts throughout the summer. Jumped right in, loved it. I know, you know, loving Big Brother 16 seems like a hot take, but it was my first season of Big Brother. And, you know, I just was so excited to see this game. I was like, what the heck is going on here? This is so cool. It's, you know, you get to watch them live. I was like, what the hell? Like, where has this been hiding for my entire life? So I had a lot of fun with that. And then I went back and watched every single season. I think I've seen them all like 3 times by now, because that's how much of a life I have. And then obviously with the Canadian seasons and all that stuff, I started with BB Cam 3, went back to 1 and 2. But just never going back. That's where I started.
The edited version of BB 16 is actually really good.
Yeah.
Like I rewatched part of it recently, was like, oh, this is a really fun season.
I think Rob has always been a proponent of the fact that like Big Brother 16, the gameplay might have been subpar slash I would use more so use the term unbalanced, but the cast mm-hmm. itself in terms of characters all had some sort of impact. You did have those ridiculous moments that I forget about, like the week 2 POV meeting where Zach Rance goes on a rant against Devin and like insults Pow Pow to her face and Pow Pow accepts it. Like it's just truly ridiculous. I'm assuming, Matt, that you really were holding out on Big Brother until they upgraded to HD, right? You had to wait until they actually upgraded their film equipment to catch up with the rest of the times.
Yes, and they picked the right season to do that because, you know, having Zach Rance in HD, there's no other way that I would have ever wanted to experience Zach Rance. So, and I mean, I don't think Frankie Grande was doing that season unless it was in HD. So it had to be done.
He's a social media mogul. How dare you?
It's funny because, I mean, people talk about how like a whole new wave of fans was brought in BB 16, and Frankie mm-hmm. might have had a lot to do with that because he brought in the younger fans. I don't know if I considered myself somebody coming into Big Brother for Frankie. I mean, I don't think that was the case at all, but I did know who Frankie was going into the season, just because I had known Ariana Grande for all those years and I knew about her brother. And, so I don't think, like I said, I don't think Frankie is what brought me in, but, it was quite the season to jump in.
It's like if you like walked into a building to see like a concert with like a bunch of, I don't know, like tween fans of the warm-up crowd, and you're like, I'm technically with you, but I'm not like with you, you know, like don't associate me with them.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many Ariana Grande concerts or Demi Lovato concerts or anybody that's like for like kids, I guess, how many concerts I've gone to that I've been like the only guy in attendance and the bathroom is just completely empty because nobody else is there? There's got to be like somebody out there listening that relates to that, but those bathrooms are empty.
That's the added benefit of all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, there are so many great moments actually in that season now that I'm thinking about it. Like when Frankie told everybody that his sister was Ariana Grande and they were all just like, wait, who?
Well, didn't Derek say Amanda Grande at first?
Yeah, well, because that was when she released her album that summer. So like her like big first like pop album. And so like she then became a huge deal after that. Oh, yeah. And Zach and Devin, it was good. It was a good season. So yes, I get it.
I stand by enjoying the season. I know it was my first season, so I feel like everybody probably loves their first season of whatever show it was, but I would rewatch it today, tomorrow. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I know Taryn shares the same opinion, so I guess we're just kind of weird.
I find it all too fitting that we spent the first 7 or so minutes of this podcast talking about a completely different season than Big Brother 21. When we'll get to Big Brother 21 right now. You know, I think all three of us that have had some sort of opportunity to come on to a Big Brother podcast to give our thoughts on Big Brother 21 so far. But like I said on the Sunday night recap with Rob and Taryn, I really do feel like the closing of Camp Comeback sort of finalizes a chapter in the book of Big Brother 21. So I feel like now we can officially look back on what I'm going to say is the grateful chapter, considering, you know, what has been happening on the feeds and on the show as of late, to look at sort of the first part of this season and reflect back onto it. So Liana, now that we have the first 3 weeks behind us, give me your thoughts in retrospect of how you thought this season started.
So, Matt, I'm going to say we take a vote to banish Mike and just continue to wax poetic about BB16. I guess. Fine. We can.
But I still have to like hang out on the podcast. Right. And like I can't talk season with you. I can only talk superfluous stuff.
Right, exactly. So like if we go on a random tangent about something, then you can jump in. But otherwise, yes. But you do still have to stay on the podcast. Like you can't leave. So, okay. My thoughts on the first couple of weeks. Well, so I was traveling for the first pretty much 2 weeks of the season. So I was like going to conferences and was sort of all over the place. So I was able to watch the episodes and I mostly kept up with feeds on my phone, just with the, you know, the updates on Twitter and that kind of stuff. So the first time I actually like sat down to watch feeds, I was like, what are you guys talking about? Christy's not that bad. Jack's not that bad. Because for the first like 10 minutes or so, everybody seemed relatively normal. And then I watched them for more than 10 minutes. And they are just a very crazy, intense group of people. Season of South Africa is Survivor South Africa is Island of Secrets. And I kind of feel like, you know, in a similar way that No Secret is able to be kept on that season, No Secret is able to be kept on this season of Big Brother as well. And so it's just been crazy watching everyone tell everybody everything pretty much. And then, you know, of course, with all of the Camp Comeback stuff, that has just been an absolute disaster. But I will say that the characters are really insane. And that's what I got from watching feeds that first night is everybody's pretty crazy. And so it is fun from the sense of getting to watch all of these insane people in the same house.
Matt, I know that in the update you did with Taryn, you were a bit higher on the season at that point than I think the general internet community. Looking back on those first few weeks, do you still share the same opinion?
Not even so. It was not even like 24 hours later that I was like, did I really just say that? I mean, not to like completely take everything back, because I went into this season having so much faith in the cast. I mean, just personally, I was like, there's like four people here from the New York, New Jersey area. That makes me excited. Just having Caitlin last season, I was like, Caitlin is, you know, Big Brother gold. If they're bringing in more people from around this area, I think it'll be great. So I just had high hopes. And then, you know, you get the first, first night eviction, and then you're like, ugh. But then just things started to develop. And I was like, you know what? I think there might be something here. I think there might be something because this big alliance isn't as tight as they seem. The cracks were starting to show very early on with, the all women alliance started to form. And then immediately, you know, Bella runs off and tells everybody about it. So I was like, there might be things to look forward to. But then, as, like you said, I did that update. I was very high on it. And then kind of afterwards, it's just when I started to really notice in on things just getting ugly and things just, you know, I don't remember if Kemi was evicted by that point or not. I don't think so. But just as soon as, you know, Kemi's out and then the three of these guys are just completely getting, you know, pushed off to the side, you have some hope that, oh, look, Nick just won HOH. Something could happen here. Sam just found out that there's an alliance that he's not part of. There's going to be a big move made this week. And we see what happens there. Nick puts up two people that his alliance wants him to put up and just doesn't make the move that we are hoping for. And then, you know, we got to the conclusion of Camp Comeback this week. I think we can all probably agree it's nice to just have that over so that we can move on to the next phase of the game. So just overall, I don't know. I have a hard time not being optimistic because, like Brent kind of says, like, then why am I watching if I'm not hoping that something good's going to happen? But they have made it a little hard along the way to stay as optimistic as I want to be.
Right. I believe Brent said on the live feed roundtable this past week, that's, you know, if there's 10% of the season that he does like when it comes to being the talking head, he's going to try to, you know, he can still quibble and make complaints, but you want to still surround that talk around that 10%. I would say probably my 10% of the season right now is Kat being Kat, Kemi shade aside, and Christy just anytime she comes to power coming to pieces. Those have been my two favorite things about the season. Unfortunately, the good is outweighed by the bad, which is pretty much anytime Bella, Jack, or Jackson opens their mouths. It's just, I mean, I am in disbelief with some of the people on this cast. And I guess it just comes from the fact of, you know, if you bring in people who don't necessarily understand what the live feed denotes, they don't necessarily realize, for better or for worse, you know, when they're doing certain things, how that reflects on them. It's been really tough because, you know, I think we ended, I guess, part three of this chapter on a really interesting note with them deciding to blindside Nick and Bella for some strange reason and then have the guy who they evicted come right back into the house. But it's really tough to, like, you know, try to throw any sort of favor behind some of these people when the actual way they behave is just so horrendous. Sometimes, like, there are moments where I could be like, you know, I know people made arguments for Nick with the Nicole stuff, as, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, sometimes you say things that are really rude and just come from a place of purely rooted paranoia and not from ill intentions. But honestly, someone like Jack just keeps, every time I think he can't dig himself deeper, he ends up just like shoveling another pie full of dirt in my face. It's absolutely bananas to me.
Yeah. So someone asked a question about, you know, what soup are all of these house guests? And I was thinking about what soup Jack would be. And I was like, Jack's not even soup. Jack is the cottage cheese that was in the soup bar by mistake. You walk over there, you think you're going to get soup, and instead you get gross cottage cheese, and no one wants that. But I think even when we look at all of the bad behavior that we're seeing, if we try to feed the positive, like, what can we get out of this? I think, one, recognizing that their behavior is wrong, but then also thinking about how you should behave in this moment. How can you apply that to your own life? Like, you see these people being assholes, don't go be an asshole, you know? So I think, like, there's always something to learn and to take in from Big Brother. Not that that's the reason I come to Big Brother. I just want to see people get sprayed with paint and fall down and wear funny costumes. But, you know, you can think like, okay, I recognize this is bad behavior, so I'm never going to do this in my real life. Like, what can we take away from this? So that's my little soapbox thing, which I'll hop down from and go back to the gross cottage cheese. But,
You're telling me I had Jack ranked number one in my preseason power rankings. I thought there was some maybe like Austin, you know, BB17 upside where he would just link on to some kind of stronger player, which he kind of has with obviously this big alliance, but like with Tommy and Christy, who were pretty much like the center of the house at this point. And he's kind of like the third with them. I guess we'll see how this week plays out to see if he really is or not. But I had a lot of hope. I thought he was going to be like a steal, picking him at number one, or just putting him at number one. It wasn't a draft, but I was very disappointed to see how wrong I was on that one.
Yeah, and I think as well that I think what is actually, it's weird because I know that some people were, you know, outraged to have to see again all the stuff that happened with Nicole on the TV show, but I am very glad that Big Brother did that, because I think, to your point, Liana, if this is sort of an idea of a social experiment and you sort of want to impart these lessons of like, this is what mom mentality entails, And I think there are some real life parallels with that, as in this day and age of getting riled up by misinformation so much so that you make personal attacks against people. It at least has provided this really, I'll call it a phenomenon in the Big Brother community, where every single facet from what I can see in the Big Brother community is unified. That is insane. We have been living in such a tribalistic Big Brother community for as long as I can remember, basically since the days of the Friendship versus, you know, the Sovereign Six. So that was also much more one-sided. But it really does seem like, you know, when you watch these people 24/7, you become sometimes enamored with them to the point where you really are protective of them. And we have seen even so much as last season, you know, the level six people versus the Faute people in terms of fandom was getting pretty nasty, especially in the off season. To go from that to essentially everyone, including outside the house, being against Grateful is, it's absolutely, you know, phenomenal to watch, though I can't say it's necessarily undeserved based on the behavior that some of them are exhibiting inside the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was funny. I think somebody on Reddit posted something along these lines about like some like clipping up Jack and Jackson united all the social medias like Reddit and Twitter can coexist in harmony now that the two are on the block. So, yeah, I think that that is sort of an interesting byproduct of having such hateful with an eight people in the house that you really can get some unification when it comes to the fandom.
Can we also say that? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's just nobody on the bottom that it's like worth rooting for. I mean, last season you had the Dominant Alliance, and obviously there are people who are rooting for, whether it's Tangela or whether they're rooting for the strong gameplay from level six. There was people on the Faute side that everybody, you know, grew to love. Bailey and Swaggy had their fans. Scotty and Fessy and Haley, like, there were people that were rootable. This, like, the bottom people on in this season, like, anytime that you're like, come on, Jess, you got this, Jess, she's like running to Christy. She's running to the people that we want her to stay away from, or that we want her to rise up against, and it's not working. You know, up until this week, it was kind of like, how are we going to even root for Cliff? Because nothing's happening with Cliff. He's not getting anywhere. He's about to get evicted. So it's like hard to latch on to anybody. I mean, we all loved the camp comeback people, but they're not even in the game. So it's not like there's just nobody to really root for. It's just you're kind of rooting against everyone, which isn't fun, but it makes sense, I guess, as to why everybody was so united.
Well, to be fair, Matt, if you use the Australian definition of rooting, there has been plenty of that going on in the house for the past few weeks.
Ooh,
yeah. Yes.
On the live feeds, even when they don't know.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's start getting into these players as we talk through everything in the first few weeks. And Matt, you spoke about our three unfortunate camp comeback denizens who did end up leaving the house on Thursday night. And now that they are officially out of the house and out of those poor Cub Scout uniforms, it's time that we go into a tried and true tradition here on the BNB, our preseason prediction. So even though Liana and I were not able to do a preseason podcast for Big Brother 21, we still did write down a few things that we thought each person was going to do over the course of the season. Call it a much more qualitative version of Matt's number one pick of Jack in his power rankings preseason. So what we're going to do is we'll go David first, then Ovi, then Kemi. Liana and I are each going to read how we thought the person would do and some predictions as to what they would do. Matt, as the guest, you're going to be the arbiter of our fates to determine who had the better predictions. Liana, looking back on these, I mean, obviously, I can't come back with probably something that was not at the forefront of your mind. Did you predict anything twist-wise along those lines, though?
I mean, I always expect the unexpected, Mike, you know. I assumed that there was going to be some sort of buyback of some sort. I didn't expect this camp comeback situation where they were actually going to be living in the house. I mean, I don't think a lot of people did, which actually, here's what I will say. I get this idea of, look, when you have people that they know they're coming back into the game, you get the majority alliance to not turn on each other. They're going to stay together because they just want to make it through the twist. I get that. But I really did love being able to see people back in the house, although it did make for more heartbreak. Like David, for example, who we never would have known when he didn't get to come back into the house. I was really sad and was disappointed that I never got to see him play. So I think while it did bring that heartbreak, it did elicit emotion from me. And so that's what I would rather have that. I would rather have some strong feeling about it than have no feeling at all. So I honestly was kind of here for camp comeback.
I will say that I think if they have to do a buyback, which seems like that apparently is now a requirement in modern Big Brother just to pad out the schedule. I actually like the way that this is done, just because I think that one of the unfortunate stigmas against buybacks are that it's really easy to make a revolving door situation happen. And this sort of, in a perfect world, would stymie that. I think that unfortunately they ended up in an environment where there was this one alliance that not only was in control of everything and had the loudest voices in the house, to the point of where as soon as they came back, you have Jack and Christy say, okay, yeah, we're not going to interact with you just to make things quote unquote fair, aka to keep ourselves in power. And I talked with Ovi about this in my exit interview with him. And I think I agree with him in that, you know, I think it's a good move on their part as well. Also because evicted house guests are going to have things to say. If you don't want word being spread against you, might as well put forward this stigma of like, hey, they're quarantined, we can't touch them lest you get infected as well. It's not a great thing moralistically to watch, but from a strategic perspective and from a gameplay perspective, I enjoyed the idea of it. I think, unfortunately, the execution just, it didn't work in this cast. I would hope that if there was another cast maybe with more, I don't know, strategically fluid players that were willing to play ball more, it could be something that would work down the line.
Or maybe they're not allowed back in. Like, I would also just be fine with them having to live in the house with them, like up until, I don't know, some predetermined point in time. So then I don't know. You have to like face the, I don't know. I want more drama, right? So it's like, how do you try to get more drama? And I think that was part of the reason why production wanted to use this twist specifically, because you almost have people that have to face their demons. You have to face the person that you voted out. I think Rob and I think Eric maybe talked about this on Summer of Stein, but like them not being voted out and being able to just like kind of stay in and cause chaos may have been an interesting way to do this, but you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I would have loved to see, I feel like I would not be against this happening again in a future season, just because if you get somebody that's not David, Ovi, or Kemi, somebody that might have a little bit more, just, you know, be more willing to just start drama with everybody,
if you had Reem Daly get voted out first.
Absolutely. If Reem Daly was on this cast, somebody as outspoken as Reem or as anybody else, just able to recognize the situation that they're in, maybe like somebody who's more conscious of the fact that like, we're on a TV show, this would be fun. I don't know. Obviously, they're all thinking about their games if they get back in. But I think there could have been some iconic TV moments between the camp comebackers and the players that are still in the game. There was one. I mean, Kemi versus Bella was the first and kind of only fight that we've had this season. So that was something. I think there's promise in the future.
I'd say two-sided fight, at least. We've had plenty of people shouting at others, but it hasn't really been reciprocated. So this was really a first for the season.
Yes. And if this kept happening all throughout the season, I don't even know why I said that. I don't want to put that out there, because then we're just in like edge of extinction. But it is something that could cause more exciting television along the way, just in case they happen to bring it back. I'm not like completely against it. So there's that.
All right. Well, let's get into our thoughts on David. So, Liana, David, I don't know. I feel like David was a bit of a wild card preseason, just because, he wasn't revealing much. And also he didn't watch much. So they weren't entirely sure how he would do in the game. How did you think David was going to do?
Okay, I had David making the jury. And I said he won't be able to do his fake tears in the actual game. He will coast and eat more cereal than Matt Klein's. And his comic book superhero name was the Knockout Smile. And then they like zoom in on his face and they do that like ding, like effect on the TV. That's a note that absolutely had to have happened.
All right. So I had David going pre-jury. I said that we would barely hear from him. I said he would pull out his cry on command scale at least once, where he like essentially had Ika almost perform an exorcism on him in that moment, an exorcism, if you will. I said he'll Bogart one of the parts of the backyard, like the weightlifting bench or the pool table, which will annoy the feedsters. I did write down who I thought his closest ally would be. I said Kemi or Holly. And I thought his superhero name would be Shutterfly.
Oh, because he's a photographer?
Right. So it would just be like, listen, I didn't get much from David preseason, okay? He cries on command and he's a photographer. Those were like the two things. So I thought maybe if they made him some sort of like human fly hybrid holding a camera, that could be a thing.
Yeah, I like how we both address the fake tears because that's like the one of the few things that stood out about David in the preseason.
All right. So Matt, who do you think did the better take on David?
Yeah, I had nothing on David preseason either. I was like, this guy has not watched Big Brother before. We know he's a photographer and he did a pretty good job with the crying. So I'm same boat. I didn't know what to talk about with him. But I got to go, Mike, here just for the whole pre-jury thing. I mean, I wanted to reconsider when you got to the part about being closely allied with Kemi and Holly. Just after David's come out of the house, he's been talking about how the person he did not like the most in the house was Kemi. So that's kind of taking away, but I got to give you the points just for giving him pre-merge, because even though I wasn't high on David's chances of winning the game, I thought he'd be in there for a while. I thought there were some other bigger players around that might have been targeted earlier. I didn't see any reason why David couldn't stick around until at least the jury. So props to you for calling that he would have been out beforehand. So
yeah, if I'm remembering back to what May Mike Bloom or June Mike Bloom was thinking, I think it was something along the lines of I thought he kind of get like a Jeff Weldon type of thing where like he's just a random person who goes pre-jury where some week somebody's like, you know what? I'm going to get David this time, you know? And so it just sort of ends up that this random under the radar guy gets voted out pre-jury just because he either gets crosshairs of something, or maybe they think he'll be a comp threat down the line. But I mean, I totally agree with you, Liana. Maybe the biggest benefit of Kemp comeback this season is that we got to know David more. And it really made me, you know, wonder if they had this instituted in the past to like, if you had a Jody or a Cameron or God help us a Glenn, you know, hang out in the house for a few weeks more, not necessarily come back in the game. It at least gives us more of a fair chance to get to know them personally, because my opinion on David leaving the house week three versus leaving the house night one were like night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, my prediction was essentially centered around the fact that, like, you know, he's going to coast. He's just going to hang out, like he's just there, because what I got from him was that he was just going to be a social guy. And I didn't think that there would be really any game skills with that. And I think that what I learned is that, one, he was very perceptive. And then I wanted to be able to see whether or not he would actually be able to do something. And what we got to hear a little bit right before the camp comeback competition was that, yeah, he was like, he knew what he needed to do moving forward. And that was so nice to hear. But like I said, that just makes me even more sad that we actually didn't get to see him ever officially play the game of Big Brother.
All right. Well, let's go into Ovi territory. Ovi certainly made an impact preseason as well, being one of the biggest fans in the cast and excitable as all get out, having just graduated from college that apparently Jackson attended as well. But that's like the one pre-existing relationship that really did not hold water whatsoever in the house, surprisingly enough. So I had Ovi making the jury. I was optimistic on Ovi. I said that Ovi would be this season's resident schemer. I said after playing a complex game, everything folds in on him over the course of 1 week. I said, and this is a bit of a prediction for further down the line, I said he'd be in the top three for America's Favorite Player, which still might happen, all things considered. I said he'll get a sponsorship from Crocs after the season, parentheses, think Tyler and checks. I said his closest ally would be Jackson or Annalise. And I said his superhero name would be Ovi the Anchovy. And I said in parentheses, he'll have some sort of punishment where he gets stinky.
like the chum bucket.
I'm assuming so. I don't know exactly what else getting stinky means. He was technically part of that activity competition where he smelled things, so maybe that counts.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I had Ovi making pre-jury. I said kind-hearted, but will play way too hard. We'll have multiple final twos. People won't believe he has a girlfriend and will shock people when he wins an HOH and people see his photos. And then for his superhero comic book name, I had the Camp President because I'm very creative.
Ooh, but actually you might have predicted something interesting considering that you did attend a camp for his time on Big Brother.
Exactly. Yes. And he, you know, he was like the class president or whatever. Right. So, you know, camp president. Do you think he would have been elected the president? Probably. He would have been the kid that like no one wants to be the camp president and camp comeback. And they're just like, fine, let Ovi do it.
Because they'll be like,
oh, God, I won't let you down.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, if the camp president has to like wake up at 5 a.m. to do the morning announcements and run up the flag. OK, Ovi, you do it. I like my sleep. You go ahead, kid. You're eager enough.
Ovi's got my vote. I'm voting for Ovi for class president, for president any day of the week. In terms of this prediction here, I was already leaning towards Liana. It sounded like she was in on Ovi being pre-jury, an opinion that I also had, that he just didn't seem like this was a group that he was going to work well with. But then once you got to the superhero name, this is a lock. He attended a camp, like you said. He's 100% the camp president. So point to Liana.
Woot.
All right, all tied up here as we move into our final evictee this week, Kemi, who certainly had a bit of a rough road in the house, basically getting targeted from the basically since that banishment that Jackson sent her on to. It's been just sort of a perpetual target on Kemi until she got evicted here. So, Liana, how'd you think Kemi was going to do preseason?
Okay, I had Kemi as pre-jury, fan favorite Yas queen, but evicted early as a house consensus boot. Most likely to give Brittany Haynes level confessionals, and her superhero comic book name was the Unapologetic Angel.
Because
she said, I think in her preseason stuff, she was like, I'm super unapologetic. Because remember, she was like, oh, I'm a bitch. Yeah, that's who I am. And that was like her whole personality thing that she was selling.
She said she was like a reformed mean girl, I think, in her in her package before she entered the house.
That's what I went with.
So I had Kemi making the jury. I said that Kemi would stoke the flames of the first house conflict. I said she'd get caught with her hands in too many alliances, which did not realize that would bring on a different meaning considering how this season has been playing out so far. I said she'll comment about the most about how attractive the guys are. I'd say she got booted early jury after winning a comp one or two rounds beforehand. Her closest ally was Isabella, and her and her superhero name was Comeback Kemi. So I guess I'd assume that she would come back at some point.
If we had done this when Rush Hour was still a thing, I mean, well, I guess she wouldn't have been out of the house, but that would have been close.
I mean, yeah, like if I had said, you know, closest ally Isabella for the first week and a half, then I think maybe that would be my most accurate prediction ever.
Yeah, and then Isabella betrays Kemi. If only we could have that. If only we could manifest that or have some sort of intuition for that.
And let me just say, how awkward was it when Kemi was on stage and Julie's like, so you're a super fan, right, Kemi? And she's like, well, I started watching last season. But yeah, I really love the show. And I really, you know, I don't know if she like mentioned going back to watch, but
yeah, well, I mean, I mean, I think this was talked about when the LFC and Rob, previewed this season. But this cast has done a very good job of being humble and sincere as to the amount of Big Brother that they've watched, as opposed to people in the past, like, yeah, I'm a super fan. Man, who do I love? Cody, Tyler, it's Rockstar, Paul. I mean, the list goes on. It's around, I really love about 32 people from the past 2 years.
All the people I can name. Although, to be fair, they probably wouldn't be able to name that many people because they're Haley who? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was actually really nice. I feel like that's why Adam Klein had to come up with like the super duper fan moniker, because everybody was like, oh, I'm such a super fan. I know that's Survivor. But it's been really nice to be like, oh, you know, they're much more, like you said, cautious about the terms that they use.
For sure. So this point, I think it seems pretty obvious, is going to Liana, the prediction of Kemi going pre-jury. Pretty much everything Mike said, it was like the opposite happened in the house. So I wish I could help you out a little bit more there, but that was not your best call.
Listen, I think this is what people wanted more so than what actually happened. So I had that sort of sympathy point, I suppose.
It's your version of the fan fiction, if only that it actually happened. We actually got a question on Twitter. Speaking of predictions, Caleb asked, what will Cliff's trajectory look like in the future? And I thought that that was a really interesting question because so as of now, Cliff has one HOH and he's put up Jack and Jackson. And I'm really curious to hear from the two of you what you think about how Cliff's game will unfold. Let's make a mid-season prediction for Cliff's game.
Ooh. Okay, so we're doing like a halftime score for Cliff at this point, even though we're only 4 weeks in of a 13-week season. Matt, what are you thinking?
Well, I tweeted this the other day. Cliff is making the biggest bid in the house to be on a future season of The Challenge. Like, this guy is running the table in competitions. He is not letting anybody get in his way. He, like, these three players who have been sitting waiting for their chance to get back in the game. They've had nothing to do but focus. I don't know, maybe they were nervous, but then Cliff comes in and you know that he has whatever this table is in his backyard. He's been playing this every day before he got to Big Brother. I don't know. So he obviously came in hot with the competition skills that came out of nowhere. If he can actually pull through with like a comp win here or there, I have no reason to not have faith in him. If he can make it like a week or 2 weeks after this is, there's going to be a lot going on, like a lot of focus on Cliff after this week ends, because Christy has been pumping him up as such a big threat. Like he's, you know, been plotting to get us out, blah, blah, blah. And he's so good at the competitions. And now that he just won two back to back, there might be a target on his back, but he's lucky with the fact that there's still Nick and Bella, or there at least will be one of them by the end of this week. There's still other people in the house that are kind of looking at each other. And if he can talk to enough people and just convince someone, listen, I'm on your side. I know that I might look scary, right? I mean, he doesn't look that scary. It's still the 54-year-old man in the house. You should still try to get all the other people out before him. You know, you're probably not going to bring him to final two. So I don't know. I think he should be able to go far, but if Christy has her way, he's going next.
First of all, I just love this idea now. I have this image of Cliff doing the bananas backpack, carrying Johnny Bananas on his back as he's just like walking over to the barrel, kicking it over and doing his little Cliff hand signals. I just want to see Cliff inserted on all moments of the challenge. I know we talk about Dad CT being a good sort of like reaction shot nowadays, but I feel like Cliff would just conquer that immediately.
Yeah, but are you ready to see like an Ashley Mitchell, whoever joins up with Cliff from this season, like take the money from him? How heartbreaking will that be to watch when that happens?
I know, I'm now doing my own fan fiction of what it would be like to have Cliff be on the challenge. Like, who do I think he would align with? Do I think him and Turbo would get along? Yeah. Like, can you imagine Cliff and Polly Calafiore like on the same show together?
Cara Marie, I think I had a little too much to drink tonight, honey. Why don't you sit down? I'm going to get you some water. Like, I think he would just be the house dad. And I think that I would predict, I think him and Wes would be like the newest power couple in the challenge. And I'm absolutely here for it.
I mean, that's Wes's strategy. So he'll find the newbies and he'll make them do his bidding for him. So I cannot wait for this season of the challenge to start.
So I would say I'm call my shots here in these predictions. And most of the time I'm wrong, but I might as well keep with tradition here. I'm going to say, give me Cliff as the second boot in the second double eviction of this season. So that's what, like sixth place or seventh place or something like that. I feel like I totally get Matt's point that I think he's pretty well insulated in terms of a target list from the other side. And if his quote unquote side ends up winning HOH, then it's obvious who they'll go after. So I think he has a little bit of wiggle room. Plus, he does have the ability to win competitions. But I don't know, something to me just screams like all of his allies get taken out by the first half of the double eviction. And then it just ends up like he gets up and he ends up getting put up and just sent out, you know, sort of like a mercy kill of, okay, Cliff, like there's nobody else left. We have to get rid of you at this point.
I think I want to believe that is going to happen because I would absolutely love to see him stay longer in the house. I'm just a little nervous that like Matt said, with all the comp wins, just crazy to think that Cliff Boss Hog over here being our comp champ. I think that he's never going to be able to go back to just like, oh, it's okay, guys. Like I'm just playing the game. I'm just hanging out. I think that he is probably going to be targeted relatively quickly by Tommy and Christy, and they usually have a tendency to get their way. But I want to manifest he goes second in this. Wait, you said second in the second double eviction?
Yes.
Like, okay, I'm going to manifest that. So that is my official prediction. And I'm really hoping that, you know, he wins. But if not, I will take that so that he stays longer in the house.
I just want to give Cliff props for, I mean, I don't know. We haven't really, I guess, talked a whole lot about this week, but just the move that he made, he's now HOH, and the move that he made with these two nominations are the move. It is the move that we are just screaming in general for every HOH to do. We want every HOH
to make the best,
to make the best decision for their game. And it's with the knowledge that we know that this is the best move for any particular HOH, and we know that putting up two huge players is something that Cliff should have done here. You can, you know, quibble about who specifically it should have been, if it should have been Tommy and Christy, or if it should have been the Jacks or whatever, but he made the move. He wasn't scared. These guys just voted to evict him. There was no other option, but he could have tried to crawl back to them and say, all right, well, I'll stick with you guys and put up two other people as long as you'll keep me safe going forward. He didn't do that. So not only does he, you know, have the confidence, he has the balls to keep going forward in this game.
I would say that I don't think a cathartic reaction has been stirred up with nominations in the Big Brother fan community this much since James Hewling put up Clelly together in Big Brother 17. It's very much this thing of like, thank you, you're doing the thing that we want to do watching you guys. So I think there is a certain amount of like association there of like, thank you. Like you said, Matt, it might not have been the most optimal of optimal moves, but it's one of those things that the fans are like, oh, thank you for finally doing this. They were getting on our nerves.
Yes, yeah, you did what we needed.
Yeah, 100% Yas Queen type moment. So like, thankfully, Cliff was able to give us that. So I want to get into a segment that we started doing last season, all because of Fessy Fitness. Let's be honest. It was the RHAP BB BNB BNC, which is the Rob Has a Podcast Big Brother BNB breaking news coverage, aka our hot goss segment. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to unearth any fitness apps from any of the current cast. Although if Jack or Jackson had one, I would believe that.
Yes, I would say I think Jack's fitness app would just like demean you every time you did a rep or something.
Right. It would like yell at you for, you know, not working hard enough or something like that.
Or be like, you just did 15 pushups. Do you think that makes you special?
What do you think gives you the right to stop? You don't think you should keep going?
It's really a workout through negging, which actually could work. You know, drill sergeants, that's how they make their careers.
Work out through negging with Jack. But I do have a few items that I did want to discuss that haven't been brought up either from alumni or from people this season. So first, Fessy and Haley may have had a brief breakup because apparently they unfollowed. So they are still together, but they unfollowed each other. Haley untagged him in one of her like recent posts, and then he unliked all her posts. But then Haley refollowed and unblocked Fessy and he refollowed her. So ultimately, this doesn't matter. The only reason I bring it up is because I just have this mental image of Fessy running around saying, who flipped? Who flipped? when he realizes what had happened.
Oh, man. I mean, look, I am far from one to speak, considering that like I've never, you know, been in a relationship with someone like in the day and age of social media where like if you have a nasty breakup, what happens there? But like, it just seems really petty to like unlike all of her photos, untag him from this photo, you know, like as if you're trying to erase the memories when like it's the internet, baby. Those memories are going to be permanently stained on the tapestry for the rest of your life.
You know, you got to get those unfollows and unlikings in if you want to get that X on the beach call. So I see you, Fessy. I see you, Haley. I think that's actually starting to film pretty soon. So keep an eye out for those two. But yeah, drama on the BB20 end.
Oh, that makes the most sense. I could totally see that angle. Okay, hopping back to this season. So I have a few things about Jackson, which I think, do we want to talk about like most recent spoilers? I guess, spoiler.
I mean, we've already mentioned the HOH and who got nominated. True. So I think we're carte blanche here right now.
Anyway, so Jackson won veto. So I'm pissed. So I'm going to talk about some nasty things about Jackson.
Whoa.
It makes me feel better about myself. Okay, so first of all, Jackson doesn't use condoms, apparently. He was like, why would you use condoms? So, not cool, Jackson. I have a subscription box, Lola, you might be interested in, that can provide you with condoms that you should absolutely use.
Especially when you're sleeping with multiple partners.
Yeah, exactly. But he doesn't seem to be too concerned about keeping things clean, because he's been drinking out of the shared like milk and orange juice containers. You know, like he doesn't get a glass, like he just drinks directly out of it. So gross. Okay with that.
Yeah, this, Matt, I don't know if you have like experience with this. I've never seen anyone actually do this in real life. I thought this was just something that like the pesky neighborhood kid in a 90s sitcom would do. I never thought anyone actually had the like lack of tact to think that this was a good idea, that like, man, I really need to drink it right now. I can't even grab a glass. Like, I need to get this liquid in my belly ASAP to be satiated.
I would never even do this in my own house, but like, I was also like the person who, you know, when you were say in camp or whenever you were around your friends when you were younger and there was like one water bottle and everyone was sharing it and they would try to like pour it into their mouth without yeah. it touching their mouth. I think I was just not coordinated enough to get it to go into my mouth. So it just, I was just not involved in any of that. So I guess Jackson maybe just grew up being one of those kids that was fine doing it. But no, this is a no go. I want nothing to do with this. Jackson is never invited to any Airbnb that I stay at. Never, you know, if you have him on the B&B, don't invite me the same day. I don't want to stay with Jackson.
He just had a house and home if you brought him onto the B&B.
I mean, you don't want to know what he's doing in these rooms with inside the RHAPB. You don't want him there.
No, we'd have to charge extra for the cleaning fee. We'll buy the individual milk carton and orange juice containers, though, if he does ever come by.
If he walks in, I'm going to make a rule like, Jackson, buddy, you got to wear a condom at all times. And to help, you can walk around naked, but you got to be wearing a condom so that I know that you're following the rules. Otherwise, you're getting kicked out.
That would be the weirdest rule in our bylaws, but okay. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be mad at that, I guess. Although, speaking of Jackson's body, it has come to light that he does use, not currently using, but when he's out of the house, uses a steroid called Trenbolone. So it is legal.
Oh, wasn't that word that Steve Moses spelled to win that spelling competition in season 17? No, that's a trombone joke.
Trombone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, why am I blanking on all spelling comps? The only thing I could think about was Shannon Elizabeth. Like the only person who was like stuck in my head.
Or Technotronics.
Yes. So he played Trenbolone in high school band. And so he uses a steroid called Trenbolone. And the main reason I bring it up, it's illegal. It's illegal. Because he said, can't wait to get out of the house and keep pumping the Tren in me. Which I just like have him. He's going to like pump Tren in him.
Is that a Toy Story plug? You got the Tren in me?
You got the Tren. I can imagine the song now.
Yeah, if Randy Newman ever goes into like gym pump up videos, that'll be the parody song that he writes.
If only we had our very own Wandoff, we could get DJ LaBelle Klein in here to write a version of that.
It's called The Rubber Off. It's hosted by Jackson.
Oh, God. Ooh. Yeah. Especially considering there's like rashes going around in the Big Brother house as well. So, OK, I think that's all the gross stuff I have on Jackson.
Who else? This is fun.
This is fun. Let's see. So Paul and Evil Dick got into it on Twitter. They started going after each other. This was a couple days ago. A lot of like Paul saying that Evil Dick is, you know, toxic, blah blah blah. He used the term edgelord, which I got to Google, and that was fun. But the main reason I bring this one up is because then Evil Dick photoshopped a picture of Paul as a clown, which I thought was pretty funny.
With the beard and everything, with clown makeup.
Yeah, that's the great part. So it's got the full beard and then the like clown makeup is over the beard, like it's just photoshopped on top of it, and then the red nose isn't actually over his nose, like it's too high up. It was not a great Photoshop job. So they're going at it, so that's always fun. I think those are sort of the main things. The other comment I got was if we want to discuss the house guests' tattoos, like Jack's "My Name Is" tattoo, which is absolutely garbage,
or Nick's what, like Taylor Swift Pocahontas?
Well, yeah. Well, Nick's tattoos are just like an exact copy of whatever Matt Klein's had, which is why maybe not the main reason why, but like the comparisons are so easy to make when his tattoos, you know, he's got the exact same look that that Matt Klein's had. But I mean, in terms of at least for Jax, that had to be a prank, right? Has he mentioned right. it or anything?
Not that I know of, but yeah, I have to imagine this was like he lost a dare. Like, lost
a bet. That's what I meant by a prank. Yeah, yeah, there's no way that any sane person. Well, he's not a sane person. There we go. I answered it for myself. Ding.
Do you think he like writes in names every once in a while that he's like, today I'm going to be Trevor? Just like
so it's like a
Trevor.
Permanent Halloween costume, whatever he is that year. He doesn't go all out. He just kind of puts on like something from the waist down.
He's Jim Halpert, essentially. He'll come and be like, oh, I'm Trevor this year. Look at my name tag.
Oh, he's so cool. Do we know why he shaved his beard? Does anybody know? I don't.
Do we know if Christy said she doesn't like beards? Because I honestly do feel like it's one of these things of like, oh my God, Christy says she doesn't like this thing. Well, I got to make sure I stay as far away from that as possible.
I mean, we do know that she does like women. And, you know, most women don't have a ton of facial hair in the way that Jack did. So maybe that's what he's trying to do.
So because he has long hair and no facial hair. And now he's like, do I remind you of anyone, Christy?
Maybe from behind. Yes, I don't know. But Jack looks so much better with the beard. Like, I can't imagine. Why would production greenlight this? Unless my one theory is that they are setting him up for his downfall. And so if we make him less attractive, then his downfall will, I don't know, somehow be less intense.
We're on the topic, and I have two Drag Race fans here, I have to disagree with the take that Rob put out a couple weeks ago. The Jackson stars colored tank top, is that a toot or a boot from you guys? Because I like it.
Oh, I like it too. It's a toot for me.
Yeah.
All right, well, then no, I'm glad we're on the correct side of history from Rob
go ahead.
I like it. I don't know why Rob's so down on that tank top.
It's tank top season. I can't knock any tank tops, you know?
Oh, yes. You have a tank top story that I remember you telling once. Didn't you? What is that story? Can you tell it again?
Well, the story, which I actually think I told on the Big Brother 20 B&B, was that I was with my wife walking our dog, and it was like warm outside, and I was just enjoying the fresh air. And I guess I said a bit too loudly, which, surprise, surprise, I said something too loudly, but I think I just said, like, it's tank top season! And it just completely busted up to the point where now Angela and I both refer to, like, summertime as tank top season. I'm wearing one right now. So, you know what? I'm sticking to the seasonal theming, so I cannot, you know, knock tank tops too much, because I want to keep the seasonal cheer spreading.
Actually, speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race, somebody on Twitter reached out and said, do you guys hear, instead of sis, referring to Annalise, sis, which when I actually did, because I was like, because ayo sis, like sis has just replaced cyst for me now, so it's like ayo sis in the house.
That's another reason why I don't like to call her sis. It's just a bad association, because now I'm thinking about Soju sitting on Annalise touching down in LA.
I mean, we're 4 weeks in and I have not said that as her name once. I've still stuck with Annalise, but I would absolutely be willing to make the switch if we're going to call her Cyst instead.
Ayo, Cyst. I'm oozing right now. Oh, my God. Anyway, OK, that's all I got for hot goss.
Well, let's go back to the Jackson stuff. And you actually talked about this a bit with the milk, but I don't know if you guys know this. Jackson consumes a lot of food on a daily basis. And let me just say at the top here, as a disclaimer, this is not meant to, you know, shame Jackson in any way. He can eat whatever he wants. I just think it's remarkable to note that I think he's sort of on this, like, The Rock does it as well a bit, and maybe the trombone has an effect on it too, where, you know, you worked out a lot, you've taken an inordinate amount of calories to just sort of like have your body be able to subsist and keep running as a machine. So I found this Reddit post from a user called Fidgety Giraffe, called I Kept Track of Everything Jackson Ate on Camera for 24 Hours. So what I did was I came up with a quiz around what Fidgety Giraffe logged called Jackson's Snack Pack, son. So And I'm assuming this is like actually me addressing it to my son. I read the logs to him to get sort of an initial proofreading through Asher. But basically how this is going to work is we'll go back and forth. I'll read you some questions about what Jackson ate over the course of an entire day. I believe this was July 14th. Those of you that want to refer back to that day for some reason. And we'll see how much you get right by the end of this all. Before we get into it, Matt, do you have any thoughts about Jackson's rather peculiar Gaston-like diet?
I don't know. I feel like there's so many things to track in this house, and keeping track of Jackson's food habits was just not something that was high on my priority list. He eats a lot, and you know, it's hard to argue with that. But I think my main issue is just the whole you know, the way he's been drinking, like we were talking about before, with just taking from the cart and putting it back in the fridge. I can guarantee you that at least two of those bottles or something he's put back in the fridge have been empty, because he's just that guy. So he's just not somebody I would ever want to live with. Like I said, he would just wipe out the house of everything we've got within like days of going food shopping. So have fun, Holly.
Although this actually does remind me the comparison to Gaston. If we do have a wand off, no one eats like Gaston or Jackson.
No, I want you to record a wand off and specifically stop yourself mid-word and realize that you didn't actually parody the person.
Oh, wait, it's actually supposed to be his name. Yeah. Yes, it's so much. And I mentioned this, I think, on one of my updates, my morning updates with Taryn, but he was policing the food that was being eaten. Like Christy wanted to use some salad for herself, and he was like, yeah, I was gonna use that tomorrow. She was like, oh, okay, I'll eat something else. Like, dude, it's really such an issue. But I'm happy to report that he is a have not, and he must eat slop, which I don't know how that works with the steroid trenbolone. I don't know. It's just a good time.
Well, I don't know why it was such an issue to have Kemi's water bottle in the fridge. Call Jackson in the house. Tell him to come, you know, start digging into whatever's in the fridge. You'll have the entire thing cleared out within minutes, and everybody can put their water bottle in the fridge and we'll all be happy. So no, I don't know why that wasn't the answer last week.
I think Jack was looking out for Kemi, though, because he's like, if you leave it in there, Jackson's going to eat it. Like, I think he has blinders on. He's going to see something's in the fridge and he's going to think it's edible.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. It was like, look, he drinks out of these communal beverages. No. I'm sure Jack, he's not that kind, but maybe we can help.
That'll be his story, I'm sure, when he gets out of the house.
All right.
Okay, that's what he's trying to do.
Let's get into these questions. Liana, let's start with you.
Okay.
At 1:17 a.m., what food did Jackson pair with his pita bread? So at 1:17 a.m., Jackson had pita bread and blank. A, hummus. B, peanut butter. C, marinara sauce. Ooh. D, spinach artichoke dip.
Oh, if only it was a nice meat sauce. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go for the obvious answer. I'm going to say hummus.
I'm sorry, it was peanut butter.
Oh, of course. I should have known. He would have been like, what? I don't eat hummus. I need peanut butter, all the protein and fats.
Yeah, and like this is the only carb I think he'll consume maybe over the course of this entire thing. All right, Matt, let's go to you. What fruit did Jackson eat the most over this 24-hour period? A, apple. B, grapes. C, banana. D, watermelon.
I have got to feel good about the bananas. I think I saw a couple hundred pictures of Jackson eating bananas. And if that's not the answer, and if it was something else, he still ate a hell of a lot of bananas.
That is correct. Jackson, I don't know if that's good or bad banana etiquette, but yes, I believe in this 24-hour period, he ate like 4 bananas.
Oh, that's completely unsurprising. One time, although speaking of like gross things that Jackson did, he like stuck his hand in his crotch to like shuffle around his balls and then touched some of the bananas. Although, you know, hopefully he ate the ones that he touched. So
he might touch his own banana as well while he was down there.
That's also true. Maybe, not just the apples, but the bananas as well.
How many bananas did Holly consume in that time?
Ayo.
All right, let's go back to you, Liana. And we're actually going to stay on one of the choices in this last question, because Jackson, even though he did not eat nearly as many grapes as he did bananas, he did eat grapes in this 24-hour period. Speaking of grapes, what food etiquette faux pas did Jackson commit while eating grapes at 8:24 a.m.? A, he didn't offer to share them with anyone else. B, he washed them and left the water running. C, he threw any of the ugly ones at Ovi. D, he bit off the stems and spit them onto the floor.
Okay, I think I actually heard this. He was leaving the stems on the floor, so I'm going to go with the last one.
That is correct, which, what the hell, Jackson?
It's, well, because he's, like, doing stuff to mess up the house. Was this when David was there? Because then he's
David's
like,
peeing on the floor, and he's leaving stems everywhere. One is clearly worse than the other.
Oh, my gosh. Jackson went on this whole thing last night about how he's just there to mess with people's minds. Like, I think I called him a regular Russell Hance, because he's like, yeah, I take long, Reutzel hot Hance. Showers. Yeah, Reutzel Hands. He's like, I take really long showers and I like mess with things and is like dumping, I don't know, like squeezing the body wash like down the sink or something. Or maybe he said he didn't do that. Anyway, so the spitting things on the floor for some reason doesn't sound like a stretch.
Oh boy, I'm sure the people who like clean the house absolutely love all the mayhem that Jackson is, you know, ensuing with his fellow house guests, who I'm sure are, you know, coming to pieces over it.
Yeah, he gets to the diary room. Production's like, you know, nobody asked you to do this, right? Like, not a single one of us are trying to get you to be obnoxious in the house.
You're not America's player here, Jackson.
Like, did somebody leave you the wrong envelope? Because this isn't a thing.
Can you imagine America's player task to leave little stems of grapes all over the floor? It's very oddly specific.
I would actually love if America's player task were very passive aggressive.
Oh, 100%. Enough hugging. Okay. More passive aggression. That's what we need.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to you here, Matt. We mentioned Jackson's affinity towards the white stuff, milk. How many times did Jackson drink milk either on its own or as part of a dish over these 24 hours? 4, 6, 8, or 10?
Ooh. 4, 6, 8, or 10. This was 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think he was asleep for what, like six of them. So that leaves about 18 hours in the day. Do we know what day of the week this was? Was there a comp that day? I don't know if this was in the notes. If there was something to do that takes out like 2 hours.
It was last Sunday, so I don't believe so.
Okay. I'll go with am I being tricked here? Is the answer 4? I'll go with 4.
Sorry, the answer was 6.
Crap.
yeah, obviously.
he had a cereal twice, both in the morning and in the afternoon. Nick is shook with that Matt Klein's comparison. And the other times he was just chugging chocolate milk straight out of that Nesquik jug.
See?
All right, Liana, back to you. Which of these breakfast foods did Jackson not consume during these 24 hours? A, whole wheat toast. B, mini wheats. C, Cheerios. D, egg whites.
Okay, he would definitely have eaten egg whites. And you did talk about him eating cereal. Would he eat two different types of cereal? Like, he's going to eat mini wheats and then he's going to go eat Cheerios. But I could also see him eating whole wheat toast. You know what? Okay, I'll go with whole wheat toast.
That is correct. Yes, Jackson did indeed eat two different types of cereal, all in the course of 1 hour as well. 12:49 a.m. was mini wheats and milk. 1:21 a.m. was Cheerios and granola with milk.
Oh, he also does this thing where he makes them in cups, like glass cups, and then eats out of that, which is a very odd thing. Like, are the bowls in the home broken? Like,
I'm just happy he's not like pouring the cereal directly into his mouth at this point out of the box.
That's fair.
And was this before? Was this before or after the whole let's steal all of Cliff's cereal thing? Like, well, where are they getting the cereal?
Because I think that was last night was when Jack decided to.
Of course.
I would compare it to, like, it's not even like taking your ball home after you've lost the game. It's taking someone else's ball and going home after you've lost the game. That's what Jack was trying to do with those cereal boxes.
Yeah, and I've realized they give these guys so much cereal. I think some of it is like out on display, but I don't know if they're hiding behind the cabinets, but that house is full of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt, let's go to you here. What beloved after school snack does Jackson enjoy at 10:43 p.m.? A, ants on a log. B, trail mix. C, pizza bagel. D, Rice Krispie bars.
I know what the answer should be. He definitely should be eating the pizza bagels, but I feel like he's going for like the Rice Krispies. I don't know. I don't feel great about this one in any way. So I'll just give you the most boring one with the Rice Krispies.
You should have gone with your instinct. The correct answer is pizza bagel.
How could I ever have faith in Jackson to do the right thing?
The one time, Jackson.
All right. So congratulations, Liana, by a score of 2-1. You have a better sense of Jackson's diet. For a tiebreaker, I was going to say how many entries were logged in this post. It was 28. 28 entries.
Wow.
28 Jackson. Times that Jackson was depicted eating on the feed. So thank you so much to Fidgety Giraffe. This was truly interesting to look into. And quite honestly, I will say one of the most interesting parts of Big Brother, again, for better or for worse, is that we do get to see the odd behaviors of some of these house guests. And again, I'm not judging what Jackson is doing and how much food he consumes. I just think it's very interesting what he chooses to consume.
Do you think Jackson's like this in his everyday life, too? Do you think he eats 20 however many times a day? Like, is he eating something?
I'm nervous because he's a server at a restaurant. So I do not know if my food would get to my table at all if Jackson was my server.
Be like, I thought I had two sides on this dish. No. It just comes with the one. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I have put together a little bit of a game for us today. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the band 30 Seconds to Mars. So
is that the Jared Leto band?
Yes, it is. The only reason I bring this up is because I have dubbed this game 45 Seconds to Uranus. So I needed to set the stage for what that joke was all about.
I was going to say, I think oh, this is the moment where the B&B finally like comes back into its own. But then I realized that I did suggest Jackson walk around naked with only a condom on if to have him in B&B.
That's right. Yeah, that was the popping the cherry of the B&B of the summer.
Or the grape.
This is just the grapes, as it were. Yes. So we're going to play a game called 45 Seconds to Uranus. So as you may or may not be aware, Jack and Nick have talked about, and Jackson also have talked about hooking up with women in the house. And Nick decided to say that when he had intercourse with Bella, it took 45 seconds for him to come. So we are going to talk about things that took about 45 seconds. So you guys are going to try to figure out if this took longer or shorter than 45 seconds.
Oh my God.
Yes. I thought about making the answers. Is this a Jack or a Nick? Meaning it took longer or shorter than 45 seconds. Okay. So Mike, we will go ahead and start with you. So we're going to start with the track and field world record for the 400 meter dash. This is the women's 400 meter dash. Did this take longer or shorter than 45 seconds?
Oh, my God. Well, if Christmas was wondering it, I would have said more. But, oh, man, I don't know. I'm going to go with less. I'm going to say it took shorter than Nick.
45 seconds. That is actually incorrect. 47.6 seconds for the world record.
So just to be clear, that is if we had a split screen up of Nick and Bella and one mm-hmm. of women's foot race, the yes. one on the left would end up completing before the professionally trained runners.
Yes. And just to give some context about 400 meters, how long that is an entire track length. Okay. So that's one lap on the track is 400 meters on a standard track. So yes, that took 47.6 seconds. Okay, this next question.
I think I'm getting impressed. I'm more impressed with Nick at this point.
That's so fast! Wow.
How'd you do that?
Okay, so let's see if this changes your mind, Matt. Okay. This question is for you. The Billy Ray Cyrus verse in Old Town Road, longer or shorter than 45 seconds?
Oh my God. We're gonna go with shorter.
That is correct. That was only 30 seconds.
Wow, and both feature words about mounting. So it really has a common thread there.
That's why I felt appropriate. Okay, Mike, this is for you. The time it takes for me to boot up my computer and turn on feed.
Ooh.
Longer or shorter than 45 seconds.
So which has more performance issues, Nick or Liana's computer? I'm going to say your computer lasts longer than Nick.
Meaning that it takes longer.
More than
45 seconds. It was close. It was 44 seconds for my computer to boot up and turn on Feats. I did build my desktop, so it's like, it's my baby.
That's true. I should. I forgot that the nerd really tipped me off.
Exactly. But it was very, very close.
I'm just jealous because mine takes like 45 minutes to turn on, but my computer's from like 2011. So you might need to build my new desktop whenever that happens.
Okay, I can help with that. I mean, it's really important that you're able to get on Feeds faster than Nick is able to finish. Okay, so Matt,
yes.
The men's world record for the 100 meter freestyle. So this is swimming. Mm-hmm. The men's world record 100 meter freestyle, longer or shorter than 45 seconds?
I'm trying to like visualize in my head. Not Nick and Bella. I'm trying. Let me think. We'll go with Nick lasted longer. Is that the way to format the answer?
Sure. That is incorrect. It was 46.9 seconds for the world record. So I know that's the reason why I chose that one.
Where'd you find all these numbers?
Please tell me it was Ryan Lochte who set that record.
That's what I, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. I doubt it. I can Google that later. But yes, 46.9. Okay, Mike. The microwave instructions for Totino's pizza rolls longer or shorter than 45 seconds?
Oh, boy. I'm surprised Jackson was not throwing those down along with his pizza bagels on July 14th. I'm going to say that the pizza bagels, 45 seconds. It feels like 45 seconds is not enough to make the center as molten hot as those things usually are. So I'm going to say more than 45 seconds.
That's correct. It's 60 seconds, though. So although it does depend on the number of pizza rolls that you want to ingest. So 60 seconds, though, is the number on that. But yes, I was telling a friend about this quiz that I had put together, and he was like, Totino's pizza rolls. You mean those things that are like lava in your mouth? So I'm happy that this is sort of a consistent feeling towards them.
Yes, much like a consistently hot feeling in your mouth when you bite into a nice Tostino's.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why Jackson didn't eat them, because like he couldn't consume them because they would like burn his mouth or something like that. And he needs to eat every you said 27 times. How
28
many times?
Times. Yeah. 28 times in 24 times. Hours.
Yeah. So, you know, he doesn't have time to wait for those to cool down. All right. So we are all tied up. Matt, this question is for you. The total time of shout outs during the first two eviction episodes. So this is when people are voting and they're giving their shout outs, longer or shorter than 45 seconds.
Those take a while. I have to feel like those are, well, does that like include Holly not knowing how to vote? It's just the shout out. It's not like, hi, Julie. I'm here today to, so it's just the shout out.
Or like Julie Chen loves men from Sam.
Right. And this included the birthdays. So that was a lot of shout outs. I have to feel like Nick was the shout outs were more than 45 seconds.
That is correct. But just by a hair. So
really?
It was, well, according to my timing, it was 45.1 seconds.
Wow.
Yes. So very close.
I think 45.1 is how long they lasted on the second time that they did it in the house.
Improvement.
So congratulations, Matt. You have won 45 seconds to Uranus, which put it on your resume. I'm sure you'll want to share that with everyone you know. This is the game that you won. My tiebreaker was actually about the poutine eating champion from Toronto. How long does it take him to eat 2 pounds of poutine? And the answer to that was 60 seconds, which is pretty insane.
Oh, wait, I thought Joey Chestnut was like the poutine champion for a little bit.
So this is from 2016. So I don't know. It might be a little bit out of date. I did a cursory Google of like food eating competition, 45 seconds. So because I was like, I don't know what I'm looking for. But yeah, he can eat like his were longer. They were like a 12 minute competition, like how many hot dogs he could eat, which I don't know. That might be a worthwhile competition in this house. So, like I said, congratulations, Matt. You are the winner of the game.
Thank you very much. You know, Big Brother might not be Nick's game, as we're coming to potentially realize here. But when he gets out of the house, best believe I will be right in his DMs with all of these records that he's breaking. So I want to make sure he knows that he's not a complete failure.
I thought for a second you said Big Brother might not be a Nick's game, like a basketball game with the Knicks.
A Nick or a Big Brother Canada Nick. It might just not be anybody with Nick's game.
All right. So another thing we did last season on Big Brother was I was able to delve into the world of Big Brother fan fiction to read some of the most salacious and silly crossover or slash fan fictions that the Big Brother community has to offer. Here's the thing about Big Brother 21. Big Brother 21 broke fan fiction, y'all. I have one that I can read for you today, but all the sites that I usually check out have people, you know, write a couple in the beginning of the season, and then I see a post that says, like, I'm done, or not writing anymore, where essentially they say, like, these people behave so horribly on the feeds to the point where these people do not want to write about them in fictional scenarios. That feels just like an entirely new level of hatred that I, quite honestly, am impressed that these house guests were able to get to.
I like this criteria. Like, you are so deplorable that someone wouldn't want to write fan fiction about you. Like, if we're going to talk about, you know, oh, they, you know, seem like somebody that would be, you know, mean to my grandma. Oh, I wouldn't want to write fan fiction about them. Like, this is just a new level that BB21 has sunk to.
Well, because a lot of these are like this person in a relationship. So, like, you want to portray them in a pretty positive light because it's not necessarily going to be like, here's my flirting with this guy who is a big old asshole to me, you know, like certain people might be into that, but it doesn't necessarily feel the most romantic. So I can understand it because it doesn't exactly paint them in the most positive light. But I just think it's extremely interesting. And maybe things will come around in this season and we'll get some more Big Brother fan fiction. But I was able to bring out one here. And I will not say who wrote it or where it's from. They prefer to be anonymized, but let me read to you this fun little fanfiction. Today was a pretty chill day in the Big Brother house. No nomination ceremony, no veto competition, no veto meeting yet, and no eviction. It was just a nice and fairly quiet day. I was sitting outside on the hammock with my best friend in the house, Tommy. Oh, let me also just mention, by the way, quick tangent here. So a lot of the fanfiction we read last time were, you know, two house guests being matched up together. But there isn't a subset of the fanfiction community that is slash reader. So in this situation, we are a house guest in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
And we are going to be flirting a bit with Mr. Respectable Kiss, Tommy Bronco.
I'm so excited. Okay, I'm envisioning it now.
Yeah, this is all we've ever wanted. Do you think that the fandom likes us, or do you think that they hate us?
That's a good. Would we rather win and be hated, or lose and be loved?
I mean, win and be hated. We're with Tommy. I think that's a good thing in general. So hopefully that'll be okay.
Well, actually, let me stop down here for a second because I feel like we need to create this person by committee now. Of like, who is this house? Like, can we come up with a name and a general description for this house guest that's going to serve as our main character in this story?
So not to get too ahead of anything, I don't want to spoil anything in the story, but is there any indication of personality traits that this person might have or any sort of anything that we know about them? We don't want to obviously create this character and then have it be contradictory to the story.
Quite honestly, not from what I'm seeing.
Okay. let's see. So some form of the name Jack is probably out. I don't think we want to go with that. Let's see. I'm picturing, I can't get Polly Calafiori out of my head for some reason.
All right, here we go.
I don't know why that's what I'm fantasizing about.
Story of my life, honestly.
So I went to SheKnows.com to find an article, Baby Boy Names with Serious Swagger for Your Effortlessly Cool Kid. So I'm going to read out a couple of these names, and maybe we can come up with that as the name of our character. So we have Jax. Oh, actually, that one's out, apparently.
Nope.
Damon, Dexter, Axel, ooh, Kaysen.
Kaysen?
Yep.
Like the spite? Like Kaysen? C? Or K?
Like Jason with a C.
Oh, okay.
Well, we have Kaysen. Titus, Case, How about Maximus?
Ooh, yes, Maximus. Okay. He needs a really great last name. Wait, is this a male character?
Yes.
Or so like male associate? Okay.
I feel like Max could go either way if we wanted to just go with Max. I don't know if that's too like simple to cut down in half, but Max could just be whoever you want it to be. Max could be anybody listening right now.
I don't know. I like Maximus Bestimus.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. There we go. Maximus Bestimus. He works as a Roman reenactor.
Yes.
In Las Vegas. Yeah. That's Caesar's Palace.
Yes, at Caesar's Palace. Okay, yes, that's where Maximus Bestimus lives. And his intro package was all about like him being a gladiator. And so, you know, he's going to slay the competition. And then they have him like miming, you know, sort of like the gladiator thing.
And he has very sculpted facial hair, like pencil thin beard into mustache.
Yes, I'm not picturing necessarily like Russell Crowe and Gladiator, like much more angular, not as angular as Jackson. But yeah, I like the pencil facial hair.
Yeah, I think he's very angular. I think he has a triangle shaped head.
I pictured like Seneca Crane in The Hunger Games is the first thing that came to my my head.
Oh, I can see that, too. Like very tightly groomed.
Yes.
Sort of. Aesthetic. OK. OK. Yes. Okay. All right. What else? What else about Maximus Bestimus?
His hair. I feel like his hair should have a wacky color.
I think like it should be the ends should be dyed like a little bit of a color. No, I'm not talking like frosted tips.
I'm thinking about red. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I can like picture this person, but it's subtle, right? It's not like too outrageous.
Right. Or else you get fired.
Now we have like two house guests with red hair. I mean, you saw Nicole on Eviction Night, right? Like, I don't know what happened to her before they went live there, but something didn't seem right.
Yeah. Okay. They just go together. Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about for Maximus Bestimus? We can stop during the story
if there's any prevailing details that come out here. Right, so everyone close your eyes and imagine Seneca Crane with red frosted tips and pencil thin sculpted facial hair sitting in a hammock with Tommy Bracco here. So I'm sitting outside in the hammock with my best friend in the house, Tommy. Tommy and I have been best friends since the minute we got in the house. We bonded over our love for Broadway. He was a Broadway dancer and I loved Broadway musicals. Makes sense. He worked in Vegas. Ever since then, we've been inseparable. We tell each other everything. And I mean everything. Okay. Let me get this straight. You drank so many tequila shots that you passed out? I asked. Tommy nodded. Yeah, I was super drunk, and so I kind of passed out. We both burst out laughing. I started laughing so hard I almost choked. Okay. Some of the other house guests were giving us weird looks as if they were confused why we were laughing so much. Oh, that's great, Tommy, I said, out of breath from laughing. I know, he said with his iconic New York accent.
Iconic.
And iconic is in all caps, I should mention. We watched the sliding glass door open, and we saw Christy walk out with a cup of tea in her hand. Tommy waved his hand up in the air and called her over to us. She smiled and walked over. Hey, Christy, I greeted cheerfully. Hi, Maximus Bestimus. Hey, Tommy, Christy replied. Christy sat down in a chair that was next to the hammock. Tommy was on one end of the hammock, while I was on the other. We all talked about the game so far and who we liked and didn't like. We decided to make an alliance, and we called ourselves the Best Friends Gang, since we were all best friends. After we made our alliance, we continued to talk. After a while, Tommy had gotten up from his spot and headed inside to make some food. Christy watched him leave before turning to me. So, you and Tommy, she asked, wiggling her eyebrows. I'm surprised she's not, like, crying at the thought of the two of them being together. Mm-hmm. I went red. What? No, I would never, I said, embarrassed. Since Tommy and I tell each other everything about ourselves, that meant that Tommy told me he was gay, and I supported him 100%. I always found Tommy cute and had a tiny crush on him, but after he told me he was gay, I knew I would have to try and stop my feelings from proceeding anymore. Okay, so I guess he's not gay.
Wait, I'm confused. Yeah, did we? I mean, I guess we didn't talk about the orientation of Maximus Bestimus. Although I guess we'll figure out as the story progresses.
Yeah, that's
true. Exploring.
He's exploring, exactly.
Good for him.
Good
yeah,
for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
I see the way you look at him through Mac. Though I see the way you look at him, though, Maximus Bestimus. You totally want him, Christy exclaimed. I sighed. Fine, I guess I do have a crush on him, kind of, but I can't do anything about it because he's not into girls.
Oh,
okay, whoops.
Okay, sure. We'll roll with him.
But I can't do anything about it because he's not into girls. Well, I am, Christy winked. I just laughed and rolled my eyes in a joking way. I'm just joking. Well, I am into girls, but not into you. Not in that way. Oh, I know, Chris, I know. I think you should tell Tommy about how you feel. Yeah, he may not react the way you want him to, but men always hit on me. Now just take it as a compliment, Christy suggested. Thanks, Christy. You're the best, I replied, getting up from the hammock and giving her a hug. I jogged over to the sliding glass door, and I saw Kemi and Tommy in the kitchen. Hey, girl.
Oh, God. Remember Mike at the beginning of the episode when I asked if there was anything pertinent we might want to know about the character? And then we decided to design this character after Seneca Crane from The Hunger Games.
No. Reading is fundamental. Hey, girl, Kemi said, smiling. Hi, Kemi. How are you today? I asked. Oh, I'm great. How about you? This feels like very much fan fiction, because I don't know how good of a mood Kemi would be in if this was actually the Big Brother house. Better than ever, I replied. Oh, weird response, Maximus. Kemi smiled and walked over to the stove where Tommy was making pizza. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just picturing them as all as Sims. And so when they walk in, it's like, walk in. Stop. Better than ever. Turn, walk towards Tommy.
I just like this idea of Tommy. Like, I wonder how complicated the pizza making process is for Italian Tommy Bracco.
Yeah, well, I don't know. At least Jackson didn't eat all the pizza before Tommy was able to make some. So
Kemi smiled and walked over to the stove where Tommy was making pizza. She grabbed two plates on the counter and gave them to Tommy. She turned to me. Do you want any? I nodded. Sure, why not? Tommy turned from the stove to look at me. Maximus Bestimus, you are going to love it. I smiled. I'm sure I will. I love your cooking, Tommy. Thanks, he said cheerfully. He turned back to the oven and put two pieces of pizza on the plates. Kemi walked over to the kitchen table where I was sitting and gave me one of the plates while she put her plate across from where I was sitting. Thank you, I said to her. This is like if we got it, we can yada yada through the pizza stuff. Tommy came over
necessary to the plot. I don't know what you're talking about.
Tommy came over to the table and placed his plate next to mine before sitting down next to me. I started to feel nervous. Maximus Bestimus, stop. You can't have feelings for him, I thought to myself. Well, Kemi, Tommy, and I ate our pizza and made small conversation here or there, but we were mainly enjoying the silence of the kitchen because the kitchen seemed to be the house's gathering place. Once we were done eating, I got up and took my plate to the sink and began to wash it off. Tommy and Kemi asked me if I could wash theirs off, too, which, of course, I said yes. As I was washing them, Tommy grabbed a wooden spoon and began singing Seize the Day from the Broadway musical Newsies.
Mm-hmm.
I joined in because I've seen the musical before. It was one of my favorite songs from the musical. Tommy, Maximus Bestimus, please stop singing.
Oh, okay, good. It's realistic. I was like, his feet would cut for this.
Production said.
We saw none of this. Absolutely yeah. None of this. There's
I would
no
also
updates.
Love the Maximus Bestimus button that they would have to push all the time.
Maximus Bestimus, please stop singing.
Please put on your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, Maximus Bestimus, please stop singing, production said. Ah, fine, Tommy said. I decided this was the time to let Tommy know how I felt about him.
Oh!
Okay!
Okay. The pizza really, like, put this whole thing in motion.
Right, and feeds are down, which we know.
That's true.
Oh, feeds are down. Perfect. Yes, exactly.
Hey, Tommy, I need to tell you something, I said in a serious tone. He looked worried. Of course! What is it, Maximus Bestimus? I took a deep breath before I started talking. Okay, so ever since we first met, I felt like I could tell you anything. And what I'm about to tell you might surprise you. Oh, okay. Continue. I continued on to what I was saying. I like you, Tommy. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Tommy smiled. Really? Thank you, Maximus Bestimus. What? I asked, genuinely confused. A lot of girls I met have had feelings for me. I may not feel the same way because of obvious reasons, but I take it as a compliment, he said. I smiled. Well, that's good then. He smiled. Definitely. Besides, if I wasn't gay, I would totally date you. I blushed. Thanks, Tommy. We're still friends, right? I asked skeptically. Tommy smiled. Of course. Not just friends, though. Best friends. Tommy and I went back outside and talked with Christy for the rest of the night, having our friendship being better than ever.
Snaps, snap, 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 snaps. Well done.
That was great, but I feel like it was just unrealistic because Christy didn't spend the entire time talking about her power. And yeah.
Right.
I was waiting for that, so it felt like, okay, now I get it. Now we're here.
We talked in the hammock for hours, mostly about Christy's power.
Yeah, exactly. Well, talked with Christy for the rest of the night meant Christy talked for the rest of the night, and you were also there. Wow. I really liked the pizza segment and the dishwashing segment. I thought that was very
interesting.
Love
the minutia of the entire 5 minutes of making pizza, serving the pizza, placing the pizza on the table, and then eating the pizza.
Just makes it very realistic. I also like the accent, Mike. Well done. Especially
Thank
the part
you.
Where you were going in and out of it. Really fun.
Emotions does that to you.
Yes. I think Rob's Sam impression might have you beat, but this is pretty close.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You can tell Mike has seen Newsies once or twice in his
Listen,
his
I'm not going to say I haven't run around saying seize the day into a wooden spoon, but you know what? It wasn't the first time.
Were you ever in Newsies? I was in Newsies in fifth grade. I played crutchy.
Oh, no.
I think I still have the crutches.
No, I unfortunately sort of either aged out or got to a point where I'm like, oh, you gotta like, unless you're crutchy, you gotta dance your butt off to actually be in Newsies. So unfortunately, during my brief time as an actor, I was not in Newsies. You could slap like a pair of mutton chops on me and have me be a Pulitzer, but maybe that's like my biggest extent.
Yes. I think I have my hat too somewhere. I'll have to dig that out. Ooh. if Tommy continues to do well.
All right.
I was going to say, if you have a picture, that would also be
I don't
ideal.
Know if I do. I don't know if smartphones were anywhere near as popular back then. So I'll have to look up the what were those cameras called? You wind it up the thing.
Oh, digital? You mean
like the Polaroid?
Disposable.
Cameras?
I don't know. Was there a good name for it? Probably not.
They're disposable, like the disposable ones, right?
Yeah,
you're saying
yeah.
Like you, yeah, and then
you bought like a 3-pack of CVS.
Oh my god! Okay, so I have. Sorry, this is like super tangential, but it just popped into my brain. So I have a student who's working with me in lab, and I'm like training her at my work. Sorry. So anyway, she is 17 years old. She's in high school. She's volunteering, and I did an analogy for camera film the other day, and she was like, "What?" Because I was like, you develop it like camera film, because I was trying to explain this like science thing that we were doing. And she like didn't understand. And I was like,
oh no.
She was like, I have a camera.
Yeah. She was like, and then I was like, oh no. I mean, not that that's a dig on her, but just like, oh no, technology.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah. So that happened. I'm sure Maximus Bestimus is familiar with cameras.
Yeah. All the time all the time at Caesar's Palace, Maximus Bestimus gets his photo taken with all the... Maximus Bestimus is Vegas, okay? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yes. I can't wait for Maximus Bestimus to be cast on next season. Let's manifest this.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for taking the time to listen to my fan fiction reading. Hopefully, as we do further installments of the B&B this season, I can find some more. I know we're at a bit of a dire place considering some people have rage quit the season from a writing perspective, but I'm hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to bring some stuff out here, if only to just make a friend man's piece like what we got here.
Exactly. And I thought that was a really lovely story.
Agreed.
You missed out with Cliff getting it. If Cliff got evicted this week, he's the man for the job. He would have had this covered within the day he got home.
You mean Cliff would write fan fiction?
Cliff would write fan fiction.
Okay. God forbid. Cliff goes pre-jury. Much like we talked about Ovi coming on the morning updates, can we get Cliff to write some fan fiction for the RHAPBB?
I'm all for Cliff fiction.
Cliff fiction.
He's building his brand from the bottom up. So Cliff Notes, Cliff Fiction. Let's keep it going. The Cliff Instagram ads are going to be the most creative Instagram ads, because the sponsors aren't going to know what to send him. Yeah. But they'll send him something anyway.
Let me tell you all about flat tummy tea.
Yeah, exactly. Have you heard about sugar bear hair? Okay, so I have one more game for us to play today, and that is Casuals Corner.
Woo!
So I have gone to the Facebook page for Big Brother, and I have pulled some of the comments that the casuals have been saying. So first of all, I will say the casuals are pretty much on par with a lot of the feelings that we've had about this season in terms of like the entire Pence fandom. So that was actually really good to see in general. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the comments, and there are three for each question. There are three comments that are real and one comment I made up. So it is your job to figure out which comment I wrote. Okay. So Mike, we will start with you. This is all about Jack's nickname.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. A, Jack is Naquaman. B, I would vote Walmart Aquaman, aka Jack Wagon, and Mitchie out, and bring all the others and Camp BB back. Do the show a favor. C, I love Big Brother, but this great value brand Jackson Momoa gets on my damn nerves. Or D, Jason Momoa, more like Jason, I want no Moa of him.
Ooh, D sounds like you. It really does.
So is your answer D?
My answer is D.
That is correct.
Yes!
That I wrote. I even thought that. I was like, I should really rewrite this.
Nah. I mean, because the other ones are like, you know, a dollar store Jason Momoa. Yeah.
Walmart Aquaman.
I looked up Jack Wagon because I'd never heard that term before.
Yeah, is that a thing? Is that like an actual term?
Yes, it's a slang urban term. Refer to like the chow wagons used on the like the Pioneer Trail.
Oh, that's lame. I was thinking something very different, like Jack Wagon.
Oh boy.
Okay. Matt.
Yes.
This is also about Jack's nicknames. A, the way Dollar Tree Aquaman is talking to Kemi about her water bottle is disgusting. B, what rhymes with Jack? Sack. What rhymes with Mickey Dickie? Coincidence? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. C, I do not like ponytail. He never should have shaved.
Ponytail.
Or D, Jack makes my stomach turn just looking at him. No wonder he's single with a dog. Hell, the dog's probably like, yes, a vacation from this a-hole.
Ouch. Yikes, yikes. Okay. Can you repeat C?
Yes. I do not like ponytail. He never should have shaved.
That feels like you. I know how much you don't like the new look.
That is true.
But you also could... No, are the casuals even going to notice that he shaved?
I don't know.
I'll stick with C.
Okay, I think that was a good gut feeling, but unfortunately, that one was real. I wrote B, what rhymes with Jack? Sack, what rhymes with Mickey Dickie? Coincidence?
I just love this like conspiracy theory of like, because their names rhyme with negative terms, that's why they're behaving this way. It's very much there's nature, there's nurture, and then there's the rhyme aspect.
Right, exactly. Okay, Mike. This is just potpourri. A, Sam reminds me of the rodeo clown from last season with Paul. Whistle butt. Okay, Maximus. Settle down, Beavis. Okay. Ovi should put some laxatives in those cookies. Hold on to your cowboy hat. It's about to get poop kicking good.
What? That's not good at all.
I don't know. Or D, do you guys know that Winston is on Love Island?
Okay, so we have whistle butt, laxative cookies, we have poop kicking good, and we have Winston on Love Island. See, yes. In another world, I feel like you would have like written on the page Winston is on Love Island to see what their reactions could be, because I feel like a lot of them would be like, who? Who are you? Mm-hmm. Do you mean Brett? But I feel like that one's real. I'm going to say, I feel like poop kicking good is a thing, apparently. Maybe like Jack Wagon is. Maybe it's from pioneering days. I'm going to say the laxative cookies you wrote.
Okay. Unfortunately, that is not correct. I wrote the whistle butt comment.
You knew love that comment, and I wanted it to be real.
Yeah. And I will say that the casuals did seem to know that Love Island is a thing, although they happen to refer to it as that show on at 8, because they're all pissed that it's on at 8 and Big Brother is on at 9. So that's what they feel about Love Island.
I love that it's like on like a no name basis at this point. They're so mad, like that show. I will not even refer to it.
Yeah. Why is that show on at 8? There was another person who said maybe Hallmark will have something good on, which I don't really understand why they'd be talking about Hallmark.
Wow. Very interesting Venn diagram between those who watch the Hallmark channel and Big Brother.
I don't know. Maybe it's a thing. Sponsors need to tune in. Okay. Matt,
I'm
this
ready.
Is also potpourri. A, Bella needs a ride. .. Okay. B, you know who's really conspiring against you? Those bitches at the CIA. # airplane mode on. C, can't stand the hypocrisy in that house, hugging each other like they mean it. Or D, I hope Cliff pulls out his surprise Yahoo, which is in all caps.
What?
Your guess is as good as mine. Was he drinking the drink Yahoo?
I do think Jackson would guzzle it down if he pulled it out.
It's entirely possible, although lots of things have been guzzled down in the house, so I'm not entirely sure. Yes, Matt, what do you think?
As much as I would love to hear you repeat A, and make sure you get every single dot, I feel pretty good about, I don't even remember, but I felt good about B.
That is correct. Nice. I wrote that one. I was inspired by my like coincidence, I think not theory, # airplane mode on.
So wait, what was the meaning of the Bella one? I got lost in the dots.
Okay. Bella needs a ride. Out the house with prayers. So out of the house with prayers.
But just, are they offering like prayers to you? Like, I know this is a tough time, or being like, I'm praying that this is going to happen.
Like thoughts and prayers. I think it's a situation where like she needs help. So they're going to pray for her because she's awful. I think is the intent. They really don't like Bella. They don't like Jack. They don't like Bella. Let me see. I can pull. Let's see. I have some other. Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't like Jack. I feel like, I mean, I know that his edit has been turning as much as, you know, pretty much all of theirs have been. But I'm surprised. I still feel like I would have expected that people, casuals would still like the guy. I don't know. Happy to hear they don't.
Yeah, I pulled some of the top comments just to get a sense. They weren't like particularly funny, but just to get a sense of what they were interested in. And one of the top comments was, I'm sickened by most of these house guests. I want to see a member of Hateful leave next week, preferably Jack. Okay. So also there were people making the joke about how dare anyone evict anyone on Rockstar's daughter's birthday, which the casuals really loved last year. One comment was just in all caps, Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Oh, that was so good. Like, I know that we have been harsh about some of the editing, like reusing editing tropes, but I thought that was so funny. The whole conspiracy,
I mean, they made them. They had a lot of great ingredients for that Christy meltdown pre-veto ceremony, but the way they pulled it off was also fantastic as well, because they had to condense that day of just pure insanity into like a 5-minute segment. I thought they did so with a lot of panache to them.
I agree, especially since that had nothing to do with anything that was going on. Christy just began and ended that storyline in that whole same day. And obviously it was just too good to not include, but that just had nothing to do with anything. But I agree. Mm-hmm. It came out really good.
Okay, so we are tied. It is 1-1. So we're going to move on to the tiebreaker. Ooh. So I have to set this up first. So there was a comment that did the, I think it was MasterCard commercial where it's like, oh, a pen, $2, you know, but saying penis on a morning update with Taryn and watching his face, priceless, like that, type of joke trope. Okay. So what the question is going to be is, what are the things that were mentioned, in setting up the joke? So in that example, it would be the pen would be the example. Okay. So we're just going to go back and forth and you're going to tell me either yes, you think this was included in the setup of the joke, or no, this was not included in the setup of the joke.
Okay.
Okay, so we will start with Mike. So, Starbucks coffee, yes or no?
No.
That is incorrect. It was yes. So, if Matt gets this next one right, he wins. Post-it notes.
Yes.
That was incorrect. We're going to move on to the next round. Mike, a unicorn My Pillow pet.
No.
That is correct. Okay. To stay in this, Matt, you have to get the next one right.
Okay.
An REI backpack.
No.
That one was included. So, ooh. Mike, you are the official winner. I will go through the joke real quick. So, Starbucks coffee, $4. Lunch buffet, $12. REI backpack, $79. The look on Bella and her naive boyfriend's face when they realize they've been played, priceless.
Ooh, maybe as a bonus, when Cliff accidentally hit her in the face while he was hugging them.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Someone mentioned was like, did y'all catch when Bella got elbowed in the face? Which I think was really fun.
Listen, I think luckily she was not majorly hurt in any way, but it does feel a bit karmic considering the way she treated Nicole this week.
It was a light tap. Also, yeah. Like, it wasn't like she was like really shoved in the face, and it was by accident.
Yeah, so, exactly. You know. Yeah, exactly. No harm, no foul. But yeah, so I mean, it's so interesting again to see that the casuals have really been vociferously digging into the same people that I think a lot of us diehards are as well. I mean, it's brought people together. That being said, as we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, I do feel like maybe this season has taken a bit of a turn. You know, it seems like with Cliff's blind side, there have been some minds that have been opened, and it looks like the social ladder has been shaken up a little bit. So I'm very intrigued to see where it goes from here. No matter what, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about and a lot of fun podcasts to go with it. I hope everyone had a poop kicking good time on the B&B. I know I certainly did. Matt, thank you so much for coming on. For those who want to keep up with you as to, you know, your updates or any other stuff you're writing or any of the other random reality TV musings you have, how can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Anything that I'm doing, I will be sure to tweet about, if it's, you know, a blog or just hopefully another update or two along the way. Catch me on Twitter. So like I said, Matt Liguori, and thank you both for having me. I had a great time, and hope it's not my last day, because I really enjoyed this B&B. I've stayed at a couple B&Bs before. This one was probably my favorite.
Thank you, Matt. I will say you did leave a bunch of grape stems on the floor, but you're just too damn lovable that we couldn't give you up that easily.
I appreciate that. I will do better next time, or I'll just put the blame on Ovi or Kemi like everybody else seems to do.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime. Go ahead and blame anyone else. It's fine.
Sounds good.
Actually, so I have, sorry, one more comment before we wrap things up. This is from the casuals corner. I don't like the new slow motion music. It sucks.
Whoa.
So casuals are with us. I know. It's so garbage. It's like somebody took a keyboard and then they just hit random with all those like random sound effect buttons, and it just started playing a cacophony of sounds. Oh my God. It's so garbage.
Is that a button
on
a keyboard? That feels like it's like a self-destruct button that you would put on any sort of musical instrument.
No, I don't know. I had a keyboard growing up that had, it was like set beats. So it's like,
right,
you know, or whatever. And so then you would like play along with that. And so it just feels like they hit several of them and they all started playing at the same time, because it's just a whole mess. of music. But anyway, so you can find me on social media at Liana Boras, LianaBoras, doing the morning updates with Taryn on Saturdays. And I was also able to join Shannon Gates to do a preseason podcast about the Australian Survivor season that is going to be starting soon. So if you are a fan of Survivor, International Survivor is just so good. South Africa is going on right now and it's amazing. And I'm really excited about this season of Australia, which is coming up. So definitely check that out if you're, it's something that you're interested in.
Yeah, champions versus contenders, right? How much of the cast was released before you ended up doing your deep dive sleuthing, as you're wont to do on these international previews?
Yeah, so we had 9 of the champions that were released at the time, and we had 4 of the contenders. Although pretty much what we knew about the contenders, I can pull up my notes. I think I had bullet points, like 2 bullet points for one of the contenders, and it was like underground minor was the first bullet point, and the second bullet point was has a mullet.
I was just saying that was the mullet guy, right?
Yeah, mullet guy. And that's all I know about him. He is the mullet guy. So yes, we didn't get into a lot of the details because we haven't had the entire cast released, at least when we did the podcast. But it was really fun to speculate about. It's more of a season preview than a cast preview. But that is going to be coming up soon. And I'm, like I said, very excited.
All right, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. Speaking of International Survivor, myself and Shannon Gates have been covering this season of Survivor South Africa so far, which has been super interesting. Like Liana said, no one can keep their damn mouth shut, and it is so much fun to watch. Actually, last week we had Rick Devins on to break down the merge episode of Survivor South Africa. We are now halfway through the season at in the post-merge, which should make things very, very interesting moving forward. So be sure to check out all the International Survivor coverage that's going on. Now that there are people that have actually left the Big Brother house, I have been doing exit press for Parade. You can check out my exit interviews with David, Ovi, and Kemi, and I'll be doing them moving forward with both the pre-jurors and jurors and moving forward. I'm very excited to talk with these people about their thoughts on everything going on in the house. Josh Wiggler and I just finished recapping our finale of Stranger Things, which was an absolute delight in every sense of the word. We're going to have our feedback show coming up this week with something special planned for that as well. And a few surprises before we get into our next big project, which I'm very excited to announce, hopefully sometime in the coming weeks. So that's going to do it for this installment of the B&B. Like last season, I think we're going to try to come back every like 3 to 4 weeks or so, depending on how the season's going. So I think we'll check back, you know, near the end of July, around week 6 or 7, and see how things are going. I'll be very intrigued to see, you know, what the barometer of the house will be at that point. Thank you all so much for listening. Let us know your thoughts about any of this as well. And if you have any BNC items for future installments, be sure to let us know. You know, any random observations, to be quite honest. We're a real, you know, stew in terms of things to talk about from the Big Brother community, both BB21 and otherwise. So keep piling stuff into our pot, and we're just going to keep on stirring and giving it to Jackson to eat. So thank you all so much for listening. Matt, Liana, thank you both so much for your great work. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this all behind the scenes. Wolf from America for our awesome theme song. We'll be back in a few weeks to talk about the next phase of Big Brother 21. But until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you.